Welcome to New Ideas from Kauffman Hall. I'm Hayden Bush. Primary care physicians have long grappled with the challenge of helping their patients make healthier choices. But what if they could offer their patients instant access to behavioral health before they head home? North Carolina-based Atrium Health offers patients virtual behavioral health services within their primary care practices. I recently spoke with Will Behrman, Assistant Vice President of Innovation at Atrium Health, about how the system's efforts to better understand its patients helped inspire the initiative.
We wanted to better understand what they were going through, right? We had a lot of segmentation before. They were a certain age, they were a certain demographic, they had this number of diseases. But what we found is that that really didn't define who they were. And so we looked at it through the lens of jobs to be done theory, which is really looking at what's the progress they were trying to make in their life. And for most of them, it was progress that they didn't want to actually get an illness. They didn't want to have a chronic condition. If they had one, they wanted to be able to manage it well enough now that it didn't become debilitating in the future. And so by understanding what the goal was, we could identify the job to be done and develop the resources and processes that we needed to be able to try to achieve that job to be done. So a lot of it had to do, again, with I'm getting older. And older could be 35 to 36, or it could be 65 to 70. But I'm getting older. I have some concerns either through family history or through, elevated cholesterol, some of these areas, but I don't want them to become a debilitating disease in my future. So it really ended up then becoming around behavior change. And once we understood the job to be done, then by applying nudges and understanding, some of the behavior change theories, that's how we developed the value-based practice, understanding that we had to change the cost curve by changing behavior, which changed the onset of disease.
The system's practices began screening patients for potential behavioral health needs and scheduling same-day visits with system counselors.
The behavioral health practice and what we did there with our integrated behavioral health is that we embedded it in the primary care physician's practice. By doing that is that if you hadn't been to see your primary care doctor within a certain amount, we started off with 6 months, and we pretty well kept it that way. There's a few exceptions. Then you received a PHQ-9 score, right? So it's a standardized, validated test. And based on that score then, and that became part of your primary care screening, right? And based on that score then, instead of saying, hey, I think you might need to go see a psychiatrist or, a social worker or somebody, we would actually set you up that moment while you're in the primary care office with a virtual visit to originally a counselor, right? So just a licensed practical counselor. And then if needed, they also had in their same bunker, they had psychologists and psychiatrists, so we could elevate the case as needed. Now, in the case where people were actively suicidal or homicidal, then we immediately called 911 and had care brought to them. But what it would do then is it would initiate the behavioral health intervention right away. Because what we found is, as expected, if we ask somebody to go follow up with a psychiatrist, the utilization rate and the follow-through was really low. But if we initiated care and they developed a relationship around behavioral health right there in the primary care practice where they were used to receiving care without any barrier, without any shame, with just a one-on-one conversation with a counselor, then follow-through was around 78%. And what we found then over time through this intervention then is that we had that relationship established with the patient, and it could progress it as needed. In some cases, we just referred them to and helped them get started on cognitive behavioral therapy. But in some cases, it took extensive counseling and medication management, depending on what the diagnosis was.
Atrium Health used an existing call center to connect primary care and behavioral health staff and develop protocols for guiding each patient's journey.
We already had a call center for behavioral health, and it was being used really for almost institutional to institutional, and it was specialty referrals from when psychiatrists and psychologists needed some coverage. Patients could call into them, prescription refills, appointment management, that sort of thing. So what we did is we took this resource that was already there, and that would have been expensive to build from scratch. And we set up the virtual integration so that a patient or the physician could call from the primary care office and receive a virtual visit from a counselor first, and then it could be upgraded if needed to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So we had that, the resources available. We had the technology available. So what we did is we started by having one practice meet with the work with the behavioral health team, because they were located in the same building. And anytime we had a problem, the behavioral health team could go downstairs to the primary care practice and resolve the problem. And through that interaction, we developed the protocols then that we then said, okay, I think these are standard enough. Let's take them to an off-site location. So then they worked with a primary care practice in a different location that they couldn't just go run downstairs to take care of the patient if needed. And we continued to refine that process and the protocols. So it was very important to get that standard protocol that provided comfort for the primary care doctors.
The initiative has already led to significant improvements in behavioral health outcomes.
So since its inception, we've seen about 40,000 patients have been treated through this behavioral health integration. Within a three-month period of initiation, 66% of patients who had had depression had a reduction in their depression. 68% with anxiety had a reduction in anxiety. So we're really pleased with these numbers, and it's showing numbers that are equal to or better than what traditional face-to-face care has been. And again, this is just a way to get people started into care and reduce those initial barriers. We were able to meet the patient's job to be done about getting behavioral care in a non-threatening setting, and the physician's job to be done, which was take care of my patient and don't leave them just, you know, hanging with a diagnosis but no cure or no solution.
Behrman has two key pieces of advice for health systems considering integrating primary care and behavioral health. Stay focused on the barriers patients are facing to adopt healthier behaviors, and start slow.
Start with understanding what is the job to be done. What is the users, the consumers, view of the world? What keeps them from making progress in their life, and what could help them, right? So in everybody's life, there are things that they're trying to move forward toward, and there are things, you know, usually habits, sometimes bad habits, that are keeping them from moving forward. So understanding from the patient's perspective of what the job is to be done, and how you can design around that. And then I also think understanding that there's got to be some separation for these new ideas to grow and breathe and not have to worry about an ROI in the first year. Quite honestly, virtual behavioral health does not bring in additional revenue for our system. You know, some of the services that we do now are being paid because mechanisms have caught up to the service we were providing. But our system said, you know what, this is so critical, and behavioral health issues get in the way of care progress so often, we're going to go ahead and make this investment. And we weren't held to ROI standards. We were given the chance to learn and grow. It's different now, right? Now that it's evolved, we're held to different standards. But to get this off of the ground and to understand, we were given different standards. And so I think those are two of the key issues that really helped us to grow and understand and to be able to segment what we were doing and to provide something that was good enough. It didn't have to be over-engineered. It just had to be good enough to get started, and then we could build on it and take sort of that journey.
Thanks for listening to this edition of New Ideas from Kaufman Hall. Visit kaufmanhall.com to learn more.